Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Jock Scharfen, Deputy Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Also joining us on our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Jock, in your efforts to build an immigration service for the 21st century, USCIS continues to pursue an organizational and business transformation program. Could you elaborate on this transformation initiative? To what extent does your recently developed strategic acquisition plans inform the underlying transformation strategy? And if I may, what are some of the critical challenges facing your organization as it pursues this transformation initiative?
Thanks, Al. One of the ways we hope to avoid future backlogs, especially of the extent that we had built up in the past, where we had millions in the backlog, we also want to improve the quality of our services that we give to the different applicants. And the way we're going to do that is to transform our business processes of USCIS. And that involves both organizing how we do go about our business of giving benefit applications or granting them, and also it feeds into our technology. So it's both the business side or the process side and the technology. And right now, the different pieces of our transformation initiative involve the digitization, moving from a paper-based system to a computer-based system. It also involves moving to a person-centric process from a form-centric process. The way we look at our immigration applications right now, we do it by application type. When you come in about your application, Al, I wouldn't put your name in. I would have to try to get the A file number and try to match you up with your application file number. I would be able to do a name search for you, but it wouldn't necessarily identify all the different applications that you had submitted. And what we want to do in the future is have a person-centric system where we would be able to get all of the applications up and get your history there. That's more efficient for you, for the applicant, and it's more efficient for us to be able to see your record all in one keystroke. The other thing is that's also better for national security because then we can see whether or not you're being consistent in the story you're telling. Another thing that we want to do with this transformation program is that we want to have our records and our applications put into an electronic form. We have electronic filing or we have paper filing, and we scan in the paper into an electronic system, and then we get rid of the paper and we just keep that electronic file. We want to manage that case then from beginning to end electronically, and that requires a sophisticated, nimble system, both hardware and software, to manage the case electronically. We're starting off with a pilot, the international adoption pilot, and we're trying to put all these different pieces together with that pilot and taking some lessons learned from that and moving on. We have a spend plan, and it's for $100 million this year. $43 million of that were from appropriated funds, and then we matched it with, or a little bit more, $57 million of our fee money to come up with $100 million. And this is moving forward to the next increment of the transformation program. We'll take our experience there, and that's if this is approved, of course, by the department, but it's there, and it's we're talking with the Hill on this, and this has to go through by law on the transformation program. The Hill is taking great interest in this. We are working carefully with the committees and with GAO. We'll have to take a look at it too. But working cooperatively with the department, with the Congress, we hope to have a robust stage two of this, increment one we're calling it, where we then start taking the lessons we've learned from this initial pilot program and moving it into the naturalization. We have about 11 different applications that fall under the naturalization rubric, and we'll then start seeing whether or not we can have this transformation system work on a larger scale. Again, we'll work with the Treasury Department as much as we can to set up lockbox operations where the applications will come into these processing centers for the case intake, and that will either be electronically or it'll be by paper and then it'll be scanned. We're looking then to have biometrics. Those are the 10 fingerprints and the photograph. We want to make this easier so that when you first come in, you get just you have to do that with just one time, and we hope to include that into our transform system. Finally, working on the electronic adjudication piece of it, and that would include having electronic or by computer scheduling for the applicant as well as notices. In our fee rule, we would be looking to put $139 million roughly a year going forward, making a very large investment as we move forward in this transformation system.
You know, it sounds like this individual-centric single view of data would serve as a great model for the healthcare industry, who I think is struggling with the same issues around, you know, how do you consolidate large amounts of data around, you know, a single individual as opposed to having it in disparate systems. Transformation is often described as an alignment of people, process, and technology with robust investment management. How has USCIS strengthened its investment management review process to better ensure that programs and initiatives align with the overall strategy, business, and IT initiatives?
We have hired about a year or so ago a very good chief financial officer, and he is just superb. And Rendell Jones has really provided great management organizational skills as well as just leadership in this area. And what we've done is we have started a strategic resource board where we review the enterprise investment decisions. And the transformation office feeds into, for instance, its proposed expenditure plans, go before the strategic resource board. And all of those are reviewed by the senior leadership of the organization. We put those into the larger context of USCIS's large strategic plan. We put the transformation piece in there, and we make sure that it's integrated and that the different leaders within the organization are first fully advised about the transformation expenditure plans, and then that everyone has a chance to vote on it. We work in a collaborative, collegial fashion there. We have quarterly reviews then to go back and take a look at to make sure that we are getting feedback in to make sure that the expenditures are resulting in the things that we expected. We also have a review process of these annual expenditure plans. We work with the department carefully, and we also work closely with OMB, which has a longstanding and continuing interest in our transformation program, and with GAO and Congress.
Chuck, one of the risk areas in a transformation program like this is being able to work effectively with stakeholders. And the stakeholder community for CIS is large, it's complex, and it's diverse. What are some of the activities that you're doing to make sure that the redesigned processes, systems, and IT services meet just not the needs of folks in CIS, but those in the community as well?
That's a good question, Dave. And my transformation project officer was really spending a lot of time on the road personally, going out meeting with stakeholders. His name's Dan Renault, and he's a very good manager. I sat down with Dan and I said, Dan, what's going on here? He explained it to me, and I have to be honest with you. At first, I was a little dubious about the value of that much outreach. Well, I am now a convert. And I understand the value and importance of that. Number one, you know, we don't have all the answers, and it's important to reach out to them. And the type of people we've reached out to, for instance, is on the adoption pilot, if I could use that as an example. We have really invested a lot in reaching out to those different adoption agencies. And in fact, right up to the 11th hour, we've been making changes to our pilot program to reflect some of that input. And I expect as we move forward, as we roll this out this summer, that we'll continue to make some of those changes. Finally, we expect to get some of our smart people who really know process and who know IT, information technology, kind of brainstorm this thing. And Dan has done this on his own, really took the initiative to doing this. And this is one aspect of it that I think we've done well.
Yeah, Chuck, a bit earlier you mentioned that one of the benefits of modernization, of transformation, was an increased ability to be able to share information with other components within DHS and other organizations within the federal government. Can you elaborate a bit on CIS's efforts with other DHS subcomponents to share information and what your role and responsibility is there?
Yes, Dave. I think we all can remember that post 9/11, when you had the commission's report, one of the big failings is that the government failed to share information. And when it did share information, it didn't share it in the right manner, or it didn't share it in an efficient way. And so we're all reminded of that frequently by the department. And the department's direction to us has been very clear, is that we're to take the initiative and reach out within the department to share information, and also outside of the department, for instance, with the State Department. And our orders on that are very clear from headquarters. And so that's our challenge, and that's what we're trying to do. And I'll give you a couple examples where I think we're being successful on that. First, within the department, we are improving our timely sharing of information with U.S. Visit. And those would be our fingerprints and our photographs that we include in that database that the U.S. Visit then manages for the entire department and, for instance, State Department feeds information into U.S. Visit and can then tap into that and make checks from abroad on that database. I met with ICE and CBP representatives to make sure that our digitizing of files are being done in a way that is going to meet their needs. Our mission and our requirement as USCIS was to make sure that we met their needs, that it was given to them using the proper standards and in a way that they could use it efficiently. We also collaborate with the different departments in that regard. And I think that our big challenge, though, is that we need to digitize our entire operation. We have to go electronically. But until we do that, until we transform into electronic system, our ability to share information quickly and efficiently will be impeded. To give you an example of that, if we were subject to another attack, a terrorist attack, one of the first things that are done is that you wanted to identify who the terrorists were and if they are immigrants, whether they've touched the immigration system at all and whether there are any records there. And obviously, the law enforcement agencies would be very interested in getting those files immediately. It would be much easier just to share that information with multiple investigating law enforcement agencies electronically with just, you know, a key punch. If you're paper, you've got to copy it, you've got to send it, or you might be able to scan it, but it's still not as efficient. The other part of it is until it's digitized, Dave, we can't data mine it. And I'm careful how I use that word. We're always advised by our lawyers and our privacy offices. And when we speak about data mining, all of those issues are, I believe, managed aggressively and well by USCIS. But the fact remains is that data mining is important so that when you want to identify, for instance, other people who have associated perhaps with a terrorist, you're better able to do that when you take a look at the data electronically. You can't do that with a paper file as easily.
Jock, nobody can replace CIS's responsibility for adjudicating a benefit decision. But there are lots of industries. Al mentioned healthcare previously. And if you look at banking, finance, insurance, there's a lot of industries that have been moving towards a person-centric case management system. To what extent do you anticipate opportunities for public and private partnerships in the execution of your transformation program going forward?
Dave, that's a good point, and I think that it's one that we've been talking about extensively with the department, and we are looking to take advantage of all the opportunities that are out there for a public-private type partnership. We've been working with our procurement division to ensure that as we go forward with future contracts, particularly some of these major contracts, whether it's if we do get a TWP program, for instance, or our transformation program, when you take a look that we might be spending $100 million in the upcoming fiscal year, at $100 million going to $139 million in the years as we go forward, that's a significant investment. We have a responsibility that we spend that money in the wisest, smartest way, and so that we leverage that to the best of our ability. And that means we have to be open to doing things not just the old, you know, way, but that we're open to new ideas, that we make sure that we have contract provisions that will be designed in such a way that we can get those type of different proposals. We're going to ask those who make a bid on our contracts is that they include their alternate financing mechanisms, those things where you could just contract out by the transaction, for instance, where the government would own none of the infrastructure, And it would just be a contract for services, just as an example, that they would be able to do 12.5 million transactions of a certain type, and they would deliver that, and we would set out the standards. And the way they do that would be a matter of contract and all. What we would do is that we would invite those type of different alternate scenarios for the provision of these contracting services. Or we could go out alternatively, it may prove to be better to go out and buy the system for the government, where you buy all the hardware, you buy all the software. But what we want to do is make sure that those options are put into the contracting mechanisms so that we can take a look at that, and we do have those type of choices. Well, we may see what they have to offer in that regard and make business choices based on what we see from there. But we are very interested in trying to get as many different types of offers that we can get so that we can evaluate them and pick those choices that do two things: leverage our money, our investment, the best we can, and provide the very best services, both maybe in the short term and in the long term.
That's great. So it's really going to the marketplace with a limited set of constraints to really get as many ideas as you can. That's fantastic. What does the future hold for USCIS? We will ask Jock Scharfen, Deputy Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services within DHS, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.